Privilege to be here, and I appreciated this. God, the reason we are here this morning, because of God's love, and His love is people, even the evil people. And you know, how many times do we forget all the mercies that God has for us, then we think it's a normal day. But no, it's the mercy of God that we are here and that we're alive. I'd like to talk about patience or endurance this morning. And when I think about endurance, I think about God's mercy that endures forever. If you read through Psalms, he says over and over again that God's mercy forever. And he'll repeat it many, many times, because God's mercy, you can never talk enough about God's mercy. And you'll never find an end to God's mercy that endures forever. When I think about endurance, I think about men who are breadwinners, who are faithful at the job. They're there, day in, day out, rain or shine, and they're there to get the job done and to make a living. They're steady, and I appreciate that, and I know men like this, and I appreciate them because they're faithful. When I think about endurance, I think about mothers serving their families. And it's morning, noon, and night. And they're there faithfully serving, faithfully pouring out their life for others, for the good of their family. They are the ones that are there when the child is sick and they need help in the night. They're there. Endurance. You can turn to Luke chapter 8. If anybody would like to stand, again, you're welcome to do that as we read. Luke chapter 8. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it withered away because of moisture, it fell among thorns, and up with it and choked it. Crop humbled. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. When the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where's your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also, who had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to him. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." Thank you. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. So, going back to the beginning of the chapter, we see Jesus, he's ministering to people, he's teaching, and there's many women that said ministered to Jesus. They were caring for his needs. They followed him, and it says they supported Jesus with their substance. They were giving, I'm guessing, food. Maybe it was clothing. Maybe whatever he needed, they were there to serve him. And then Jesus tells this story of the sower. And we see him explaining. He said about it falling on the wayside path, on the rock, in the thorns, and on the good ground. And we see him putting emphasis on, he cried after he told this parable. He cries out and he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He said, "This is important. I want you to hear this. I want you to understand." And then he explains verse 11. He says how the seed is the word of God. And he explains in verse 12 how the devil is the one there to steal away God's word. And when someone believes, and if their heart is not soft, not good ground, if it's hard, that root, that seed doesn't take root, and the devil wants to come and just snatch it away so that it doesn't remain there and grow. And that goes along with the verse in John 10. The verse is there how Jesus told us how the devil has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he said he has come to give us life. But the devil is clearly out to steal and kill and destroy. In verse 13, he said how our hearts could be rocky. They could be rocky soil. There could be rocks there. We hear the word. We receive it with joy. But there's no root. There's other things. We're trying to serve Christ. But have those other things, those other rocks in there. And it doesn't work. He said in verse 13 how the rocky soil, it's going to grow, but in temptation. In hardship, there's no endurance. There's no patience, as he said later on, that we're to bear fruit with patience. There was no endurance there, no continuing. Verse 14, he explained how our hearts could be like the ground where there are also thorns. And he said, the cares of life, We all have cares, right? We all have things. We need other things we need to do in life. But where is our focus? Where is our love? What is our heart set upon? He gives us here the picture of God's word being choked out by cares, by the love of money, by pleasures. And in verse 15, he tells us, but the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And another word for patience there is endurance. And we all appreciate things that have endurance, things that last. We don't like to buy things and then they break, feel like it's down. I appreciate things that last. I work on trucks, and there are many things that wear out, and you learn what wears out. Things wear out, and we like things that endure. We want to replace something that's broken with a good part that's going to last, that's going to endure. My aunt drives a little Toyota car, and it has 300-some thousand miles on it, and I think that's endurance for a car. That's pretty neat for a little car to get more than 300,000 miles. It's endurance. It keeps on going. It's there. It's faithful. It's through the bumps in life, through the hard things, like we talked about, you know, the hardships that we experience. Do we have endurance? Here he's talking about bearing fruit with patience, bearing fruit with endurance. Matthew 24, verse 13, Jesus said that he who endures to the end shall be saved. Endurance to the end, beyond those hard times, those times where we could turn bitter, where we could give up on God, where we could say it's not worth it. But no, it's endurance that continues beyond that, to the end. Keep on. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he tells us about enduring hardship as a good soldier. And we think about a soldier, someone who's laying aside all his own interests for the good of his country. He's laying aside all his own pursuits, all his own wishes, and joining that team to fight. And he tells us we must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And as I looked at this chapter, it just that what followed, so he gave this parable, but then it goes right on into maybe their everyday life, which for the disciples, you can see they got to see a lot of experiences when they were walking with Jesus. In verse 16, he tells us about a light. It was a parable about a light, but I believe it seemed that it was still going back to that point of bearing fruit with patience. And he says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. And We know our lights, children, you know this. Our lights, where are they? Are they under the chair or under your bed? Where are they? They're up where they can shine. They're up in the ceiling or on a stand, and it's so it can shine out. And he says here that the heart that bears fruit is going to shine out. This endurance is going to be it's going to be a shining light, a light that has endurance, that keeps on shining. And it's up on a stand where others can see. And he says in verse 18 how that if someone doesn't have light, if someone doesn't follow God, he said they're gonna lose everything. And he said even what they seem to have will be taken away from them. Even what they seem to have will be taken away. So the heart that bears fruit, that heart that bears fruit with endurance, will be given more. Then it says his mother and brothers came, and they were telling him, hey, they're outside to see you. And then he said that his family, Jesus said, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Again, he referenced right back to verse 15, how he said his family are those who are doing, who are obeying and doing that. Bearing fruit with patience, with endurance. John 15, verse 5 said, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And there again, bearing fruit, he talked of, and of being a branch, being plugged into him, and about bearing fruit, that endurance, bearing fruit with endurance. Then he went on and went across. He told him to go across the lake, and they head across the lake, and it says a windstorm came down on the lake. And they were in jeopardy. Out to Jesus, verse 24, saying, Master, Master, we're perishing. And Jesus had gone asleep. And it seems like from what it says afterward, how they were amazed at him, seems like they didn't quite, because he said, where's your faith? It seems like they didn't believe that he came this storm down. Because this, and you have to remember, these were fishermen. I'm sure they were out on this boat many times. I'm sure they had seen storms on this lake. Fishermen, right? So I'm sure. But this time, it says they were in this. The windstorm came. Their boat was filling up with water, and they were like, "This is, you know, we're gonna perish." And they cried out to him. They woke him up. Master, Master, we're perishing. And Jesus stands up and he rebukes the wind and the raging water, and they ceased and there was a calm. And I think he said gently to him, where's your faith? I don't think he was, I think he understood why they were afraid. But I think he gently said, where's your faith? And the question is, you know, where is my faith? Where is your faith? In the middle of this storm, when the windstorm comes down on our life and the boat is taking on water. Do I have faith in that time? They did the right thing by calling out on Jesus. They called out, Master, Master. They knew they needed help. They called out to him. And we, you know, but the temptation for me in the middle of that storm, when the windstorm comes down on my life, is to lose sight of God's greatness. You know, we know God is great. We believe, if we ask any one of you, you would say you believe that God can do anything, that God can keep you in anything, right? But when the storm comes down on our life and we're in the middle of it, is when we struggle to hold on to God. And all of a sudden we see this big storm and somehow we forget about God's greatness and his power. But God wants us to have endurance, to hold on to him even in the middle of this storm, in the middle of the storm, that we call upon him and that we believe in him. Then they went to the other side of the lake, and we have the story here of the man who met them, who was demon-possessed. And he was a man that was filled with demons. He couldn't control, like, he was just out of control. They tried to chain him, and it was a terrible situation. But Jesus, we see Jesus here delivering the man from the grip of Satan. And he didn't mention, one thing I noticed with this man, Jesus didn't mention about his faith. But, I was trying to understand that, like, you know, how is that when someone is demon possessed? It seems like it's a time when we need to carry people to Jesus, where we need to, by prayer, we need to go there and pray for cast out demons. Because I have someone that was pretty close to us, they went through a very dark time, and they shared how it was just a time where they felt like they were just forsaken by God. There was just no hope in life. Like, it was just so dark, and there was no, they just couldn't see out. They couldn't see a way out. And I don't quite understand all that. You know, how is that? You know, if we're walking with God, you know, does God let us get to a place like that? Like, I don't quite understand all that, but I do know, no matter what the case is, whether they're demon-possessed or someone who's going through a very dark valley, we need to carry people to Jesus by prayer. We need to go and pray for them. We need to lay and pray for them for deliverance. And we see here Jesus cared about this man that was, his life was so messed up. But Jesus came and showed him love, and he delivered him. He came and in his power delivered him from the devil. And God wants us to have faith. To have faith and have faith for others who are in a hard time like this, or in a place where the devil has a grip on their life. And the result, at the end of that story, the picture is the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And it was such a beautiful thing, so different from what it had been, that the people were afraid. The people around him were afraid. He was a picture of peace. Jesus brought him peace. So when we face it and trust and help someone else who I find in this that's in a hard place, in a place where they're by some, then over in verse 43 to 48, we see the woman who Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, and this woman came and she had a need and she touched Jesus' garment. And she was made well. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And soon she saw that she wasn't hidden. And it says she came, verse 47, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So here we see in sickness, might be in sickness. May we deal with sickness, some physical thing. Like we mentioned this morning, was already mentioned Paul and his eyesight. We deal with sicknesses. And this woman had faith. God wants us to have faith. Do I have faith in the face of sickness that Jesus can heal me? And again, the picture, she was healed. And Jesus, and then he got the message that the little girl had died, and he said, "Do not weep, she is not dead but sleeping." And the people, yeah, laughed at, because Jesus was coming with his power to raise her up. And he told them, he said, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." Only believe. Again, in the face of death, believe. Do I trust God when we experience death? Just go back, let's look again at that. The good ground that Jesus talked about. "But the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." And I just think that these other things, these stories that happened afterwards, seem to have, it was just pictures of God's faithfulness and the healing of Jesus, whether it was a storm, whether it was in spiritual darkness, whether it was sickness or death, Jesus was there to bring his peace, to bring his power. And I believe that's how he wants us to walk. He tells us that we're to bear fruit with patience, with endurance. And that's what I want to leave with you, encourage you to endure and not be turned away in the middle of hardship, but that we would endure to the end. God bless you.